Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, 5 after 7. Hello, my name is Jerry. His name is Sal. We're in for Boomer and Geo, coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough Studio. 877-337-6666. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll do the Casey Kasem thing that Sal's never heard before. And you might not have either. One other quick one. And I want to do the Mets and Jets real quick.
Mm-hmm.
One lead up that Eddie told me in my headset, too, and I'm sure you've never heard because you weren't an IMUS listener, was when he did from probably back in the ABC days, Build Me a Buttercup, where he went through the entire alphabet and timed it perfectly. And the way the song starts is, why do you build me up?
Mm-hmm.
So he goes through the entire alphabet and ends right at Y, right as the vocals kick in. Actually, kind of cool.
Hmm.
You have any idea what I'm
talking about? You mean throwing to the song?
Yes.
Okay.
Why would he? A, B, C, D, and all the way. And then right as he gets to Y, the song kicks in with, why do... It's actually,
actually
pretty... And now there's the song... A, B, C, D, E, F, U.
I don't want to talk to Sid.
You know.
That was my one interaction with IMUS. Oh, I don't want to talk to Sid. I almost had a heart attack. Meanwhile, Scoes, the first time like I got the interview for the internship, okay, you can't wear a jersey and don't make eye contact with IMUS. I'm like, all right. Now, remember, to your point, I couldn't give a crap about IMUS. I'm about
Mike
and the Mad Dog. I knew
right.
who he was, of course, but like I'm all about sports.
Yes.
That's all I care about. So I didn't really necessarily care, but you see IMUS walking around the newsroom. Oh, Eddie Erickson once told me, said to him, I'll put a bullet in your head. He had that gun or whatever in his holster. Anyway, so I'm sitting there running the board, like shaking anyway, because it was a rare opportunity to get the board during the day. And I think I was running the board for Mac and Sid,
let's say.
Yes, which was the takeover for Lou Ruffino, who would run the board for IMUS and Bernie. And it was like, there was a different feel.
Yes.
Back then, where like
it was an event.
The newsroom, when they left, it was like exhale.
It was very
okay,
tense.
It's back to but when they were there, you're right. It was
like the big shows.
If
here.
You were there in the morning,
it was a different. I completely agree with you.
Don't say anything. Don't step the wrong way. Don't look at somebody the wrong way. Whether it was Charles, Bernard, whatever, get the hell out of the way. Sit there. Shut up. Keep to yourself until it's 10 o'clock. So we were in the transition, and I was. I don't know what I was doing. I was probably running the board, playing cards, like making sure I'm doing the breaks, whatever. And in comes IMUS with his, cowboy hat half up. You see his curly hair out, and he's got his holding his briefcase. I don't want to talk to Sid. And I'm like, don't kill me, don't kill me. And he must have looked at me like, look at this idiot. Because in the seconds, I don't want to talk to Sid. He wanted to know the talk back in the control room.
Yes.
And I didn't know. And finally, he just pushed the button and said whatever. Oh, hey, idiot, you beady-eyed freak, or whatever he's calling him. And that was my extent of, yes, Mr. Imus. I don't know, Mr. Imus. Please don't shoot me.
Now, your experience is a little different because you didn't really listen to him, and it was more...
A little bit I did once I started working there.
All right, so yeah. I listened to him growing up.
Right.
Like every day. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, how did you listen to him instead of Howard? Because
I never listened to Howard until 5 years ago.
Wow.
Never. And for no reason. I just never did.
I was always a Howard guy anytime I was up at that.
I was an IMUS listener. And then when he was on the radio sound, FAN specifically, I think that's when I started listening to him, was because I was a big FAN guy and I started hearing him. I'm like, all right. So I listened to him. my first, not my first, but Craig Chamonix was a tape op. He was the Imus tape op. And they trained me to not take over, but fill in. My first fill-in where Craig was off, and it was so different then than it is now without the internet and, you know, whatever.
Oh, God, yeah.
There was a piece of sound that Imus came up to me, had no idea who I was, where, you know, and I won't even try and do the imitation. But he looks at me, he goes, "Where's Craig?" I said, "He's off, sir. I'm Craig today." And he said, "Okay, fine." He goes, I want this for Charles's report. At 6:00 for the national report at 6:07 or something.
I'm getting freaked out just listening to the story.
Yeah. So I think it was 5:30, something like that. I had no idea. I didn't know what to do.
Did you have to literally cut the tape back?
Well, I had to call up someone to record the sound over the phone, cut it up. Yes, it was a reel to reel. It wasn't digital. Yes, all that. And after 15 minutes, I'm like, I don't know what to do. So then he comes back out. He comes back. And Jane Metzler, I think, was the news person. And she goes, "He's not joking. You better find the tape." I'm like, "Okay." And she's got to write it in. "Do you have it yet?" "No." He comes walking in. "Do we have the tape yet?" I'm like, "No, sir." And I'll never forget, "You've got 20 minutes or you're fired."
Like,
okay. At which point... Do you remember when we walked out that door?
Yeah.
Not upstairs, but the front door. There was a fake plant. There was a fake plant in the corner.
Okay,
right when you walked out to the left. I got up. I walked. I crouched down behind the plant. And I contemplated my career and quitting and leaving all at the same time.
God.
To where it hit me. You know what? Craig said if I have a problem, call him. He'll get up. So I composed myself. I think I stopped crying. So sad. I went in the newsroom. I called him. And he's like, "Hey, partner, we're going to do it for you." I'm like, "I'm about to be fired. What do I do?" He goes, "Hold on." He made a call. He had a guy in Cincinnati that he always had sound. Within 5 minutes, that guy called the newsroom, had the sound within, my God, I would say within 3 minutes' time of my deadline.
Oh, my God.
And he got it to me.
Lucky. And who knows what would have happened?
Intimidating, though.
Oh, man.
Very intimidating.
Did you ever meet him, Al? You ever met Imus or no?
No.
And you were a big Stern guy,
yeah.
So you didn't even listen to him.
No, I used to.
I hated him.
Yeah, when you listened to Howard back then, you hated everybody else.
Well, right, that's kind of the thing.
Understood.
Like, if I grew up on Howard, I had an allegiance to him. I'm a loyal guy, Jerry. So I was I was aligned with Howard Stern in that particular
point.
But then I'm working for the fan with Imus, so... But then the stuff that you heard, and you're right, like, I get, like... Postpartum? I don't know what it's called, but like, even hearing these stories freaks me out. Not postpartum.
Right. You have been all over.
Yeah, what is it? What is the right word there, Jer?
Depression. Just depression.
No, thinking back to, what's it called? If something, I was traumatized.
PTSD.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. Yeah. Sorry. Spent too much time around my wife after pregnancy, I guess, hearing about postpartum.
Anyway, well, you are a prize.
I still get those feelings where even hearing you talking about it was...
Yeah, it was different.
It wasn't fun.
It was different. But you know, it was stereotypical of what you thought it would be like. Is that right? Is that fair to say?
Intimidating.
There was an aura to it.
Right.
There was a, you better not go near that studio.
And you know what I mean? Like, when they left, it was the same studio, same newsroom, but when they
left... It changed.
It was like, okay, yes. It's the fan now.
Yep.
Now we're back to sports a little bit and stupidity. And have fun.
Right.
And a dog comes in, you're like, "What TV? We got the game on here."
What's for lunch today?
You know, whatever it may be.
Yep. I'm
then
all
it
aware.
Felt like home.
Yep, sure
this
did.
This goes to the one who told me, don't make eye contact with Imus. It was a prerequisite, I think, for getting an internship.
I didn't even like to walk into the Mike and the Mad Dog studio when they were on. No, I mean the control room. Because I was like, I don't want to interrupt. If I do something that's going to interrupt their show.
They're going to get ticked.
There was an element to that, too. It wasn't that same...
It wasn't the same, though.
...feel, but there was definitely, when Mike and the Dog are on, it was a
especially a football Friday after 4 o'clock. Things felt, I don't know, ratcheted up. A couple of notches.
Weird. Just thinking back to those feelings. But yeah, I have
PTSD.
So you don't know either. PTSD.
No, but I know it's not postpartum depression.
That is true.
Unless you had a baby that I'm not aware of.
No, right. It wasn't that. No, it definitely wasn't that.
All right, so real quick, I apologize. We'll get to the
We're
Jets.
Over the place,
I know
Jared.
We are. That's fine.
I don't want to talk to Sid. Sorry.
So before the break, where I just mentioned the Casey Kasem thing, I can't believe you've never heard this before. So he did American Top 40, which was pre-recorded. And they would take dedications. In a lot of cases, it was a love dedication, and then they'd play, like, the top song by Whitney Houston. I don't know, whatever, I'm making it up. In this case, he was given one that he didn't quite care for.
Okay.
Because he was coming out of, as you'll hear, of a happy song, and then had to go into this story. And this one is pretty popular. I'm surprised you never heard it. Go ahead, Eddie.
Now, we're up to our long-distance dedication. And this one is about kids and pets and a situation that we can all understand, whether we have kids or pets or neither. It's from a man in Cincinnati, Ohio, and here's what he writes. Dear Casey, this may seem to be a strange dedication request, but I'm quite sincere, and it'll mean a lot if you play it. Recently, there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named Snuggles, but he was most certainly a part of... Let's come start again. I'm coming out of the record. Play the record, okay? Please.
Please.
See, when you come out of those up-tempo goddamn numbers, man, it's impossible to make those transitions.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
And then you got to go into somebody dying. You know, they do this to me all the time. I don't know what the hell they do it for, but goddamn it, if we can't come out of a slow record, I don't understand it. Is Don on the phone? Okay, I want a goddamn concerted effort to come out of a record that isn't a up-tempo record every time I do a goddamn death dedication. Now, make it, and I also want to know what happened to the pictures I was supposed to see this week. This a god last goddamn time, I want somebody to use his brain to not come out of a goddamn record that is, that's up-tempo, and I got to talk about a dog dying. That was ponderous, man. Ponderous. Ponderous.
You get the point.
Wow.
You've never heard that?
No. I don't believe I've heard that before.
Yeah. That was a behind-the-scenes... legendary.
What is wrong with that dude?
There's like another part of that one where he goes, he's doing a promo for one of the stations he's on, and they put a show on at 2 a.m. And he didn't know what he's reading. He goes, join me every day. Isn't that two?
Two!
I'm Casey effing Kasem.
Oh, my God. Yeah. The ego. You can hear
it. Yeah, when he God, how much money he must have made.
Right, and then the poor guy who's recording is like, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm sorry. It's not my fault, sir. I don't know. This, like, you could...
People like you and me.
Yeah, right, exactly. You can empathize. See, I'm looking at it from that perspective. That's what I mean. I've been burnt by that before.
But that poor guy, he leaked it out. Thank God he did.
How does this stuff get leaked? That's how.
You always save the tapes.
Right.
You don't treat them well. And I've always told you, too, North Turner once, a guest with Mike and the Mad Dog, when I was on the board, and North was on a terrible phone, and it dropped out once. Mike was not happy. Then it dropped out a second time, and now Mike screamed at me to fix the phone line.
Yeah.
Like, how am I going to fix the phone line? I said, okay. Yeah, so I've been
you,
there,
Jim.
Done that. Yeah. So I totally understand.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com?
We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, 7:25 almost or so. Sal and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo, coming in live from the Built Ford Tough Studio. 877-337-6666. The number. We'll get into the Jets and Giants in just a little while, but right now we will get into a Crystal Presti report. What's up, Chris?
It is powered by Superbook, now open with better odds and favorable prices. Also brought to you by Winters Bros. For help with your next cleanup or construction project, visit wintersbros.com. The great John Sterling summing up another miserable night for the Yankees.
Well, not only did the Yankees lose, but we well know that if there hadn't been a fumble ball at third base, they would have been shut out for the third game in a row. Yikes.
Yeah, instead it was a 3-1 loss.
So what is going on here?
Yeah, not a lot. Not a lot happening. Very little, in fact, after the Randy Arozarena 3-run homer off Nestor Cortez in the first. The Yanks did get their run on an Andrew Benintendi triple, followed by a ground ball bobbled by the third baseman. That was it. They had four hits on the night, one for extra bases. We just mentioned the Benintendi triple. Two errors for the Yankees in this game, including one from Josh Donaldson. Aaron Judge, 0-for-4 with a couple of strikeouts. Miguel Andujar has not seized his latest opportunity to play in the big leagues. Anthony Rizzo is 4-for-34 this month. And Aaron Boone turned to Marwin Gonzalez for a spark last night. He actually used spark to describe going with
him. Try to do anything.
Yeah. Well, he started in right field. He was 0 for his last 20 and shockingly went 0 for 3 with a strikeout. Now, I coincidentally looked up numbers the night before against Jalen Beeks when he opened for the Rays because I was doing a Yankee pregame in Syracuse. Long story short, Gonzalez actually had the best numbers against Beeks. Yet they didn't start him in that game. And then they threw him out there last night.
Someone in the front office is not doing their job, right?
I don't know. Afterwards, more of the same from Boone.
We got a few guys that are in a rut. We got to prepare and get ready and find our way out of it. You know, it's part of it. And, you know, it's no fun when you're going through it. But that's where we are right now.
Yeah.
What's the counter to that? Like, Aaron, going through it. This has been going on since the beginning of July.
I know, but this is where we had this last year where in that stretch where they were just losing a million. Like, what else is he going to say?
This is where it's very difficult when you're in a stretch like this. And we were talking yesterday about how great baseball is, that every day you got a chance to kind of turn things around, get a win.
They need a breather.
This is right. Well, this is the negative part when they talk before and after every game.
That
I don't know what else you say.
It does have to be exhausting.
Yes. That's what I mean. It's like he could literally go up to the podium with a tape and just.
You're right.
No, but I would like to hear him say, "Hey, we've been playing like I know that I want to hear the rah-rahs." Maybe that's some of the problem. And to Jerry's point before, we're talking about Boone. Well, everybody likes him in that clubhouse. Everybody respects him. He's been a guy who sticks up for the players. Maybe that's part of the problem.
I'll get to this. I just started going through it and cut at the end of his press conference. They asked him the prototypical, you know, hey, do you feel like maybe it's time you need to call a team meeting? And he revealed, he's like, we met last week in Seattle.
Well, no, we knew that. I think they... I remember they had the team meeting. Didn't they win that game or the next day? I forget.
I thought they did win that game, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, his point was like, we played that card already.
how many team meetings are you going to have?
Right, that's what I want to hear from him. I'm out of options. I don't know what to do here. I'm putting in this guy for a spark, putting in that guy. Nobody's getting the job done. Fire me, Pete Frank.
All right, Pete.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So that begs the question then. Let's not assume, but let's say they did go that route. Are you then bringing in a guy that's going to come in and kick their ass? He's a player's manager for sure.
Definitely.
So that's the way it goes.
Bring back Jordy. No, I would go the opposite way. I think that would be the natural.
Who's that guy, though?
I don't know. Look,
they don't really exist
anymore. I'm not saying it's the answer. Well, because baseball is weaned them out,
That's
right?
The point, though. I mean, where do you
go? Ozzie Guillen. That would be amazing here.
Oh, is he still?
He does pre and post for the White Sox on TV.
I know he was doing that for a while. I didn't know if he still was,
because he came under fire for really criticizing La Russa, even though he's one of La Russa's biggest backers.
Yeah,
he was pretty sharp in his criticism of how laid back he's been and not being the Tony La Russa he remembers.
Yeah, well,
now he's 80. Yeah, which is part of that.
They asked him, by the way, about the fan thing yesterday.
Or 78.
He of course gave you the. I didn't hear him. We were always going to put Ang. We were going to pinch run.
Oh, well, of course.
He goes. Tell the guy I heard him. Make his day.
That's funny.
That is fantastic. Look, it's not about trying to fire Boone, but with these stretches, I mean, that's how.
They're not going to fire the manager. No. Right? Well, I guess Carlos Mendoza. I mean, listen. Look at the Phillies since they axed Girardi. They played much better baseball.
You're right.
Not so much for the Angels.
The Angels.
That is not work.
But they did fire Joe Maddon. Why? After a good start, they had a bad stretch.
Yeah.
He got fired.
17 straight.
But that's what happens during.
No. You're right. You're absolutely right.
In all sports, it's not just baseball. I don't think the Yankees are going to do
that. Hal's
not
firing.
No. And I'm not saying it's the answer, but this is what happened. The Yankees are a good team. They should not be 8-17 since the All-Star break.
Here's Judge. Say the pitchers have been doing the job last week or so. We're not holding up our end of the bargain.
Especially against some good teams. You know, kept the score low, but we just haven't been able to get with that big hit with guys on base. But, you know, we can't mope about it. We got to go out there and keep working.
And that streak of quality starts without a team win hit 6, the longest since another 6-gamer back in 1979, Ron Guidry was on the mound for 2 of those. So that's where we're at now. Boone, end of his presser, also alluded to a roster move or moves potentially on the way, or at least he tried to.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, yeah, there'll be at least maybe potentially a pitching move that we, you know, have. We'll announce here in a little bit.
And then they didn't announce the move, but you go into the clubhouse and Clay Holmes, out of nowhere, seemingly reveals he's dealing with a back issue and spoke as if it's already been decided he'll miss some time.
We felt that it was just made the most sense to try to push through something that maybe, you know, could get a lot worse.
So who knows if that's real or
not. I mean, if they ever have a lead again. I mean, where are we going with the closer now? Is it Efros?
Well, he was the last one to do it Saturday in Boston.
Man. I know. So, I feel like Boone tried to get Chapman. I was going to say.
Oh, Chapman's been. He's been.
I know
good
he has.
For
I know.
Seven,
I'm wondering if you end up trying that
I
card
think
again.
That's the path we're on. But right now, it seems like.
Doesn't really matter because the Yankees don't have a lead.
Yeah, right. We saw it Saturday. And
closer.
That was it, right? on top of the home situation, you got reports that Esteban Florial and Oswaldo Cabrera are perhaps on their way up to Scranton. Maybe Ron Marinaccio as well. We shall see. Maybe bring the whole Scranton team up right now because they were down 9-0 last night in St. Paul. They came back to win 10-9. Oswald Peraza, who's the better of the two infield prospects, were Oswaldo and Oswald. He had the go-ahead two-run homer in the eighth, his 17. He stole his 29th base. Anthony Volpe's got 40 stolen bases at Double-A. You think they could maybe use some of this speed and athleticism here?
What's interesting about that is you would think the way you play would be a system within the organization. But clearly not, because the Yankees don't run like that.
They have more this year than last year, but not to that extent.
But no one's stealing 40 bases.
Now, in fairness, I'd imagine it's a little easier to run on the catchers in Double-A and Triple-A than it is at the big league level.
By the way, did you see, not to change the topic, although the topic is similar. So Alvarez comes into the game for the Mets last night.
Yeah.
I guess, clearly, if you want to throw at someone's head, just say my bad.
He's talking about the Swanson play.
Did you see the ball he throws over his head, hits the brick wall, comes right back to, what's his name?
Michael Perez.
Right. Picks it up, throws the guy out at second base.
Yeah, tag by McNeil great. On
that was like the only
Acuna.
Good thing that happened last night.
Yeah,
for them.
Pretty much.
It was nice to see a catcher that could actually throw runners out for a change wearing
off
that
the deflection
uniform.
Too.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Maybe that's the way to do it.
Well, here, look at
whoa.
This. Yes, right through the umpire's legs.
Yeah,
and he's out at second. I mean, that is some play. Bizarre, but yes.
And Acuna's like, what the hell?
He just got him on the. Cast.
He went second time they got him.
He went over the head of two players last night, not just
well. I would imagine not intentional, more just
and
has
he said,
no command.
And probably nervous.
Yeah.
And he tapped his. He immediately was like, you know, my bad, didn't mean that.
It's like he was working with Imus. I mean.
Just real quick on the Yankees.
How do you throw the ball?
We'll move on to the Mets. Domingo Germán, Corey Kluber tonight, 6:25 pregame on the Fan. As for the Mets, the Taiwan Walker left with back spasms after 2, and the aforementioned RJ Alvarez wasn't great, his first big league game in 7 years. Still, down 3-0, the Mets got Jeff McNeil to the plate with 2 aboard in the 7th. Brian Snitker brought Dylan Lee in to relieve Charlie Morton.
First and second, 2 outs, 3-2 on McNeil. Lee ready, his pitch. Swing and a miss, strike 3. Fastball over the inside corner. right in on the hands of McNeil. He just swung right through it.
Oh, ended the threat. Wayne Randazzo, WCBS 880. The pitch in his voice does vary quite a bit there on the positive and the negative, which is good. Ended up a 5-0 shutout for the Braves as Morton went 6 2/3, struck out 12, but all eyes on the injuries here. Walker and Carlos Carrasco giving the Mets just 2 innings apiece on consecutive nights. Before the game, though, all chuckles from Buck as he met the media to discuss the roster moves.
I was going to tell you that we'd called up Alvarez. We have.
Of course, having some fun with Francisco versus RJ. So they were both playing at AAA, so he got a kick out of that. Yeah, Matt Olson hit the bomb off of Alvarez. Steven Nogosic also gave the Mets a couple innings in this one. Francisco Lindor, appreciative of them playing their role.
Everybody that you get, like I guess, put in the puzzle, fits the puzzle. And hopefully at the end of the year, we get to see the full puzzle together.
He's making the point that those guys did their job to save some other guys, and now they will move forward here with their big three lined up, or their big two, really, with Scherzer and DeGrom and then Bassett on Friday. What's up?
That's just kind of cool. There's a lot of CeeLo right now on the TVs.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of, I don't know if cool.
Creepy.
I'd say creepy, yeah.
I'm seeing three
CeeLo. We got three of them.
Right. Yeah, one in
look at the one in the middle.
Really? Anyway, question marks for the moment over the weekend in Philadelphia where they've got the doubleheader on Saturday. So you have to imagine David Peterson, Trevor Williams will be involved in some way. We'll see about Walker's status. He would be lined up to pitch Sunday's game, assuming the back spasms are okay. Carlos Carrasco is expected to miss about a month or so with his oblique strain. And it sounds like Eduardo Escobar is probably headed to the IL with Brett Beatty on the way to make his Major League debut, most likely in tonight's game against the Braves. You've got Scherzer and Jake Odorizzi tonight. Another 7:20 start in game 3 of 4. Jerry's now taking a picture, I guess, of all
you
three.
Yeah, you
got to
wait. Hold on. You got to come back on that.
You're going to be back on screen in just 1 second.
The B-roll here of Brett.
See, here we go. Here we go. Three CeeLos at once. You get it, Jerry? Hurry up. CeeLo, you feel like you've made it. You look at yourself on TV.
No, I don't feel that way.
And where'd you sleep last night?
What's up, Benny?
He's in three TV screens, and he's bringing a pillow to work to sleep on a couch.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, not glamorous.
In fairness, even if he wanted to spend the money on a hotel, it'd be for like 4 hours.
Right.
Doesn't make sense.
Exactly, it doesn't.
It does not.
Stop being so cheap.
And it eats into the profit margin as well, Chair, as you know.
That's true.
But yeah, Allie this morning, goes, did you get a haircut? Looks like, no, it's just the leftover hair gel from TV last night.
Slept on. Wow.
She goes, still looks good. I'm like, thanks. Appreciate that.
So your hair gel is all over that couch you slept on?
No, it's all over the pillow I brought with me and slept on. That's Eddie's point. I got a bag out there with the pillow.
Oh, you really have a pillow?
Pillow, yeah, because that couch is, while it's newer and cleaner, is a little firm. And there's really nowhere to rest the head.
Where'd you brush your teeth? In the bathroom?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, man.
Got my overnight bag and toiletries and all that. A little deodorant, a little cologne. Yeah. Bird bath, as Boomer would say about Evan, where he used to ride the bike to work.
Living the dream.
It did smell nice in the bathroom.
That's That's Chris.
I noticed that.
There you go. Happy to help you out there, Al. Let's talk Jets here.
Change outfit from last night or no?
Yes.
I mean, I know obviously you're not going to
wear
that
on television.
No, I know, but did you wear that to SNY?
No, I went to SNY in my dress clothes. Oh, okay. Yeah, in the car, you know.
Because I mean, you also got to conserve the outfits. Like, you don't need to waste two if nobody's going to see you there at night. You come here, it's the overnight.
No, I left the show yesterday, went home, took a nap, got up, did, you know, dinner with the kids and the wife and all that, helped get them go to bed. They never go to bed on time.
They're pleasant, I'm sure.
Driving my wife nuts as I'm walking out of the house at 9 o'clock. So you drive in the dress clothes, you pack these clothes. I actually packed a t-shirt and shorts to take the nap in and then put this on when I got up this morning at about 3:45.
And you walk in and CeeLo's nude on the couch. Hey, it's hot in here, man.
I will say this. That little alcove, that's the only complaint. I found a nice spot, but there's no vent. It does get a little
warm. Bring in your own fan next time.
I swear to God, that thought crossed my mind. As I arrived at 11:45, I was like, you know what? Maybe a portable fan. I'll really have a good setup here.
So now you're starting to cut into the profit margin again, though.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. All right. Football-wise, couple things here before I run out of time again. So Zach Wilson underwent the arthroscopic surgery yesterday, and the Jets got good news. It went as expected. It was a trim, not a repair. So they're not going to put an official timeline, or at least not yet, on his return. Also, Robert Saleh met the media before the surgery finished.
Pointless.
So, yeah. But
the only thing I learned, though?
We learned that.
Again, it was a trim and a short term, or if they found more damage and it was a repair, it would have been.
Right, but the damage isn't extensive.
I get it. So we learned it's not worst case scenario, which we assumed anyway. Great. When is he playing?
Here's what I would think.
A couple weeks.
I would think that Joe Flacco is going to start week one and he'll be ready to go week two. Now,
I would bet later than that. Remember,
maybe,
I said the other day,
the only thing I would say, contrary to the way that we've discussed Flacco yesterday and the day before, if this indeed was the case, at least it's against the Ravens. You might actually get a more pumped up Flacco against his former team as opposed to the guy.
I was thinking about what Al and CeeLo were talking about the other day as far as Flacco being boring. You and I touched on it too when we did the show the other day.
So was Eli.
But it's different. And then
he looks disinterested.
He's not, though, if you've listened to him.
Like, even in the tweet yesterday, I don't know if it was Adam Schefter or whoever was reporting.
Rapport.
That means Flacco's in line to start week one against the Ravens. Like, I give a crap that he's playing against his former team. It's still boring. That's the issue.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say is maybe it would be a little bit more energetic and a little more driven because he's playing
fault.
His former team.
Right, but it's not his fault. That storyline does nothing for me. I want to watch Zach Wilson. I would be more excited to watch Mike White. I know, but
nationally,
I'm
no one. Flacco against the Ravens.
Big deal.
We don't care about it here because we want to see Zach
that'll
Wilson.
Be a storyline on that'll be a storyline on the NFL today 100%. And all the pregame shows leading
up
to
they
that.
Already asked Flacco about it the other day on Sunday. By the way, not that we get all that into the weeds on practice stats, but we're bringing up Daniel Jones' struggles in practice.
Yes.
Flacco yesterday, 14 of 17, 3 touchdowns and a 2-point conversion.
I know. It's the other thing I see on Twitter now. Oh, he's slinging it.
Yeah.
Flacco's slinging it.
You know what it means?
Okay.
Nothing.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely nothing. You know what Matthew Stafford's stats were in the preseason last year?
No,
zero. He didn't play any preseason games. They went out and won the Super Bowl. It doesn't matter.
A little different.
No, but I'm saying it doesn't matter. Until it does matter, it doesn't matter.
Aaron Rodgers basically said it's pointless for me to play in the preseason.
He
at
did.
This point.
He and also probably for him, it's probably true.
His young receivers yesterday, which I will play for you at some point. Did you make anything of Brian Daboll basically saying at some point Tyrod Taylor may get some first team reps in the in the preseason?
Nope.
No.
All right. And he said himself, don't look anything
into it. Well, of course he's going to say that.
I know, but isn't it weird that we've gotten to a point?
But hold on. He was asked the question.
Yes,
he didn't come out and say, hey, today, guys, if you're watching, Tyrod Taylor is going to get snaps with the first team. Don't read into it, but we're going to do that. He was just asked the question, any chance that Tyrod Taylor is going to get any first team snaps? Yeah, we'll do that. Daniel's still our guy, but yeah, we'll give him some snaps.
Right, but then didn't somebody ask, or at least he answered, I saw an answer of him saying, shouldn't read anything into it.
After he answered the question
The follow-up was, is that if that happens, is that basically reflect poorly on Dan? And he said, not at all.
Right, and then here we are, as fans and media, still saying, I don't know. Does that reflect poorly? Dable himself said, no, it doesn't.
His job
and
to deflect.
Right, but I don't think but why are you assuming he's deflecting as opposed to telling the truth?
I'm not. You're right. It's a bit of an assumption because it's a proving year for Jones. And if you look across the NFL, save for an Aaron Rodgers, a veteran guy who has nothing to prove, the guys who are entrenched as the starter are getting all the reps to get themselves ready for the season.
Right.
So if at some point they go through camp and the struggles have been noted, you guys have talked about the defense is chirping at them during practice, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, you know what? Let's take a look at Tyrod Taylor. But that's a storyline.
The point is we've gotten to a point where we're not listening to this is just one example.
I think it's not believing because we know most times these coaches are full of crap when they speak to the media. That's part of the job. Criticizing them for it. It's part of the job.
Like, I could see Dable being like, I just told you no, and yet you guys are still running with this story.
Now, in his defense,
it's a non-story.
He's new to this, so there's no evidence to suggest, we can't take him at his word, so I have to be fair about that. So we'll wait and see.
You know what I mean, Jer, or you just checked out on this conversation?
I checked out because in every case that the backups do get reps with the first team. Not a lot, but they...
Right, so you would tend to agree.
I 100% agree that he answered the question, and that's it.
And then people
he's
going to
get some reps.
Right, but people are still making assumptions.
It's a blown out of proportion nothing.
Also, there's not a lot else to talk about with the Giants.
Well, that is true.
Then you get the Ring of Honor.
I guess Al not knowing who
I like that you went right to Ronnie Barnes. That was actually funny.
I was like, who's this?
Anybody have any idea who he is? And you guys, yes, we do.
We gave him like a very extensive education on Ronnie Barnes.
Al also very honest that when Pat Hanlon goes in, he'll rip him after he retires and doesn't have to deal with him.
Yeah, or like he said, after we've done the remote show at training camp.
And we're finished.
Full year before I have to see him again.
At that point, which is very honest.
Yeah.
All right, you good?
Sure.
No?
Yeah.
Okay.
Rammstein.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, Sal and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. Fans, CBS Sports Network coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough Studio. The number 877-337-6666. One update to a story that Alan, not story, but something Alan and I have talked about many times on the podcast. And then Sid, Mike, we're coming to you 1 second on the phones. I figured it out with it before summer's out. We have to pick the day. You are going to get 3 at-bats against my son. We'll do it for digital. You get 3 at-bats, and we'll see if you go 3-for-3, 1-for-3, 2-for-3, or 0-for-3.
Which son? Who? Which
Joseph, 12 years old.
12?
Yes. Oh,
I can't wait to
hit see if you can
hit
him.
Al's got no shot. Where can we place our wagers? Can I get odds on Superbook?
We can do something like that.
You don't think I'm going to get a hit off a 12-year-old kid?
No. A base hit?
His son's good.
I don't. I actually
might
don't.
Hit one over a fence.
How many pitches does he have?
He's got 3 at-bats.
No, but how many pitches does your son have?
Right now, he's got a fastball, a curveball, and a changeup.
Will he let me know what pitch is coming?
No, and I will call the pitches in a game.
Two-seam and four-seam?
He does, yes. He does, so and the ball pitches. Moves differently. Right. Yeah, but I mean, it's a fastball, but yes, he holds different grips for sure.
12
and
years old.
He's got different, look at his home run. They got different grips that he does, and so we will do that. I have to do it before Labor Day.
He's not going to hit me with a pitch, is he?
He might brush it back, I can tell you that.
You got a helmet for Al to wear?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, he has to wear a helmet.
And I want the Giancarlo helmet with the jaw protector.
I'll get you a helmet. You want the jaw thing, go spend the $10 and put it on yourself. You'll be fine. But we will do that before Labor Day, I promise. We'll do it for digital.
I got 0-for.
Yeah, 0-for-3. Yeah, a ground ball to the shortstop is an 0-for-1. It's got to be a line drive single or something right up the middle.
You have
ground
fielders.
Ball to the middle. I can probably get a couple. I don't know.
How hard does Joseph throw?
I've never... He throws hard, though. I don't know.
When was the last time you actually swung a bat against live pitching?
Other than softball, where they lob it in?
Yeah, that doesn't count.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, I don't even know if Al's going to make solid contact.
We'll see.
All right.
He has been dead set that he can hit a 12-year-old.
Did you get a hit in that Cyclones game, the baseball game we played at Cyclone Stadium?
Against Evan? Yeah, I got a hit off Evan.
Yeah, Evan doesn't exactly throw fire.
And that was
he throws the ball.
That was pitching baseball, hardball?
Yeah, and that was from 60 feet. This is going to be from 50 because he's 12.
All right, so maybe I was a little bit better than that. I mean, not that Evan's anything.
Why are we playing by the kids' rules and not my rules?
That's the idea. You have to hit off a 12-year-old and the way they play. That was always the case. So we'll
Should
do
be
that.
Easier, no?
No, it comes in a little faster.
Yeah, not from 50. Oh, look at Al. That's
there
a
you go.
Right there. Ooh.
Look at that.
That's a nice swing. That is, that's the one by the water, by the... By the Tappan Zee Bridge, right?
You see that third base? I was waving him in.
Pretty funny. Here is Sid in Riverdale. What's up, Sid?
Hey, Sal and Jerry. How are you?
Good. How are you?
A worried Yankee fan. I just don't see any accountability. How do you guys feel? And if the Yankees don't make the World Series this year and win it, you would assume that Boone's going to be back.
All right, well, hold on. You asked the question about accountability. How would you hold who accountable?
That's Cashman and Boone.
Well, the only way you hold them accountable is to fire them.
Right.
I mean, I don't know what else you do. You're not suspending them. You're not docking them. You're not fining them. I mean, you can call them into the office and yell at them, but all you can do is fire them.
So, I mean, as far as, you know, we talk about championship or bust, and you know where that really came from? That really came from the fans.
Actually, it came from George and Derek Jeter.
The Yankees organization themselves have said this year, especially when they were out to the great start, they know it means nothing unless they win a World Series. So it is championship or bust, whether you like it or not, whether that's realistic or not. And it's been bust, obviously, since 2009. Now, not every one of those years was championship or bust. 2017 was supposed to be a rebuilding year. And meanwhile, that was the furthest that they've gone in this stretch. Game 7 of the ALCS, they haven't been back to that point since. But this Yankees team, especially with the way they started, they got to win the championship, or at least get to. If they get to a World Series, I don't think you could be overly critical. That'd be another step, at least. Well, I mean, they haven't done that. It would be at least getting to the next level, like you said. All right, you lose a World Series, it's going to be frustrating, of course, not the ultimate goal, but at least they got back to it. You could live with that. Anything less than that, especially in a year where the American League is wide open, then it's unacceptable.
Isn't it amazing or interesting the way we view teams? Like, if you had a team that was made up of younger guys, remember the Baby Bombers a few years ago,
yeah,
and you're watching them and they're overachieving, and they're not a great team, but they're a good team, and you feel like they're doing better than they should be, you really embrace that team. And yet when you have a team that is made to win, built to win, and they have won a lot, but they're struggling now, it's like a bunch of bums. And it's boring to watch, and the season doesn't matter. It's all about October. It's just a different feel to the year.
Yeah, but this year is even weirder because of the
how dominant they were.
Yeah.
I know.
They would have been, and not that they'd be better off, and certainly not record-wise or standings-wise, but at least if they were consistent, like the Mets have been consistent,
yes,
all year long.
Yep.
They've been one of the best teams. Yankees have one of the best records still, not as good as it could be or should be or was, but they still have one of the best records in baseball. But because of the inconsistency, that's what's maddening.
Here's John and Breezy, point before the break. What's up, John?
Good morning, guys.
Long-time
listener. I really like you guys. The first time calling in and getting you guys.
Awesome.
Also a Yankee fan since 1961. And not only are the Horace Clark Yankees, were they more exciting to watch than this team, but what gets me now is hearing everybody saying what the Yankees are going to do when they get in the playoffs, and in other words, assuming that they're going to get in. If they keep playing like this, I would be absolutely shocked if they don't blow their lead.
Yeah, I don't. That's the thing about it, John. It's kind of like the Met Brave thing, like we talked about yesterday. They're not going to play like this the rest of the way. The same way the Braves weren't going to keep winning 16 out of 17 games. At some point, it does even out a little bit. As bad as they've played, let's back it up. As great as they played, going 38, 39 games over 500, whatever it was, some said they're not that good. I said, why not? Why can't they be? Because I see a star-studded lineup. Mm-hmm. But it was somewhere in the middle. They weren't as good as we thought that, at least I thought they were, but they weren't as bad as they are now. They're just not. That said, they're banged up, and it's going to be a struggle. Bad teams have winning streaks. So even if you want to assume for the second, you know what, this is the real Yankees, they're not a good team. At some point, they're going to win a series. They're going to win 3, 4, 5 in a row, and it's not going to be losing 12 out of every 14.
There's no way,
right,
they can't make the playoffs. Like, that's an impossibility.
They'd have to keep losing 11 out of 13.
There's even that. I mean, what do you think is going to get the last wild card spot in the American League? The Orioles right now? Let's say the Blue Jays and Orioles.
90 wins? I don't know. Tell me.
Right. So the Blue Jays, I don't know how many exact games there are left, I guess, here. I'm not that good
about at 50.
There. Right,
but the idea of going, so the Yankees have, what do they have?
72 wins.
Okay. The idea of them going 17 and 33.
Right.
Well, we're in a stretch right now where they're 8 and 17, so I could see where a fan says it's not locked up.
But even if they did that, they still probably make the playoffs.
I agree with you. I'm just saying I could see where a fan says, you know what? They keep doing this.
I think that's extreme.
It is extreme.
Now, if the Yankees lose tonight and lose 3 of 4 to Toronto, then you could start talking about, I'm worried about the AL East. That would be my next thing.
Yes.
avoid getting swept tonight, number one, and then just go out there, and even if they split with Toronto and start to play better baseball, you feel okay. If they get swept tonight and then somehow have that continue against a hungry
things get
Toronto
real quick.
Because you're going to see there's going to be blood in the water. The Rays right now feel like, hey, you know what? We have a shot here. We've been buried for months. All of a sudden, this team has come back to the pack. Rays won tonight. That is an 8-game deficit. That is not impossible. That can change, as we've seen, whether it's with the Mets or now with the Yankees. That can change in a week.
All right, coming up on 8 o'clock on the other side, Donovan Mitchell. Where is he going to land? Apparently, the Knicks are not the only team that are involved in trade talks. We'll get to that.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.